Good day, friends. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a program of Bible truth under the caption of Timely Topics for Troubled Times. You know, I want to say to you as we begin this broadcast today that throughout the years as we sound forth the gospel, we seem to get very close to people and to families. One of the great so-called fringe benefits I believe an evangelist has as he goes about the country preaching the gospel is to stay in homes with families that have a number of children. You know, I suppose there's some people become exasperated with children. I thought of the Savior who used the child as an illustration there in the 18th chapter of Matthew when he's asked the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And there was that great object lesson of the little child, and he offered that wonderful teaching in about the third verse of that 18th chapter of Matthew, when he said, except you be converted and become as little children, you can't enter the kingdom. And, you know, being able to go to a home where the family have a sincere desire to follow the Lord and live with that family for a week or 2 weeks or even longer is a wonderful experience. And I believe the family is indeed a very strong thing in our country. I know as far as the church is concerned that that's the training ground for future elders. You know, when Paul was writing to Timothy and telling him to pass on undoubtedly the qualification for elders and bishops, he simply said that a man must be married, the husband of one wife, that he must have children in his home. And this, of course, was because in that training grounds, he's put to the test. If he can't take care of his own house, how could he take care of the house of the Lord? So I think about that family circle. And recently I had an opportunity being in a home where there were several children and we would have a very wonderful time together. We talked about the Bible. We sang songs together. We talked about the activities in school and in the community and certainly in the church. And I thought especially of the wonderful teaching as it came out by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian brethren, letting them know that he was profoundly interested in the family of God. And I know those of you that are listening to this broadcast, many of you today, are very close to your brethren in the Lord. You realize that God is the Father, and we are his children. Paul was referring to this very thing in the third chapter of Ephesians, and I want you to look at verses 14 and 15. If you're taking notes, taking down scriptures, write down Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. Here's what it says. Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. A lot of times when I go to a community, the children are grown up. I've seen them grow up as I've gone there time and time again, and I finally say to a mother or father as we're talking to them in the church building, well, how's your family? One thing they say, of course, that is quite interesting to me because it's happened in our own family, is the fact they'll say, well, our children are grown, and they're scattered from one end of the world to the other. And I've thought a lot of times that families are not only nationally scattered, but even internationally. And it doesn't make any difference whether your children are scattered all over the earth or whether they're still living in the community where you live, whether it's a city or whether it's a small town. The same principle is true. There's always that tie to home, regardless of how far you get away. Whenever I find a circumstance that a boy or a girl doesn't like to go home, I know there's something wrong. But in the family of God, you see, we have not alone the community flavor, not alone the national flavor, not alone the international flavor, but we've got the universal. Because part of our family as Christians, of course, is not upon this earth. Our Father who art in heaven. That was a prayer that Jesus offered there as he was teaching his disciples undoubtedly how to pray. And also, we're aware of the fact that Jesus Christ, that's our brother, is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. So it's a wonderful thing to think as we toil upon this earth as Christians, we're a part of the family, but not all of our family is here. You see, they're scattered farther, much farther than so many of our families are scattered upon this earth. But it's always a wonderful thing to realize that the teaching that one has received, and especially is this true when it comes to the Bible, in the tender years of their training in their home, is something that remains with them. I'm thinking as I talk to you in the broadcast today, something that came very close to my heart a few years ago. I knew this family. I knew the mother and father as Christian people, and I especially knew one of the sons who became a preacher of the gospel. And he preached the gospel and did a splendid job for a number of years. And then he became involved with something that was foreign to the gospel. And for a period of time in his life, this took him away from the Lord. There were many prayers offered for him. Much concern was offered for him. And then one day, after he drifted clear away from the Lord, I received word that he'd come back. And I thought of the story of the prodigal and how glad the father was to see the son that he considered to be dead at one time, but now alive. And how that the joy of the father is something that went far beyond the expectations of the prodigal. He came to himself out there in that pig pen and he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go to my father and I'll tell him I'm not worthy to be called his son. Make me as one of your servants." But the father saw that boy coming and he ran to meet him. And the meeting was probably altogether different than what he thought it would be. Now, we're not encouraging on this program to leave the Lord and then come home. But we're encouraging on this broadcast to know while you're at home or even if you're away that the father has a care, that he has a concern. You see, God wants us to be saved eternally. And so he isn't desirous that we sin. He isn't desirous that he be hypocritical, just waiting for us to do something wrong so he can give us a correction. But the Lord is like that father in the prodigal son of which Jesus spoke. He wanted his son to come home. And when he did come home, he received him with open arms. Now, the point I'm trying to make on this broadcast is we talked about the great house being the church on the last broadcast. We're talking about the great family today, the family of God. You see, this family is actually motivated by love. And when you find a family that's motivated by love, as a person said one time, they learn in this life to roll with the punches. And as Christians, you see, we're subject to sin. We're subject to mistake. We're human. But we have a Father that's divine. And all the shortcomings that might be pointed out in your life today or in my life today seems to point up one thing. That we need to be at home with our Father. The wonderful thing, you see, about the communications that we have in the world today is you can talk to your family just about any place where you are in the world. You see, long before those lines were stretched out there or the sound could be beamed out over the waves of the air, we're aware of the fact that we had communication with God. How wonderful it is to realize that prayer in the life of the Christian, praying to our Heavenly Father, is just as portable as the soul. That has always been an impressive point to me. It's not original with me. But it's an impressive point to think that the prayer that we offer to God is just as portable as the soul. You see, the soul goes every place with us in this life where we go. And you know, if people think about that, maybe they wouldn't take that soul into some places where it shouldn't be, where it doesn't want to be, where God doesn't want it to be. But the point is that wherever we are, we can call upon God as our Heavenly Father. Now, people who have never been born again, it's difficult for them to talk to God as their Father. And even though I realize the alien sinner will oftentimes pray, yet the Bible tells the alien sinner to repent and be baptized. It tells the Christian when he or she commits sin in the 8th chapter of Acts to repent and pray, if perhaps the thought of their heart might be forgiven them. But this grace family is a wonderful thing, and I know as I talk to you, there are many of you who listen to this broadcast and understand how much joy you've received in family reunions. Every year as I go across the country, I have an opportunity to attend a number of these family reunions, and people talk about seeing members of their family they haven't seen for years. They keep talking about the joy of that fellowship. And you know, really, when I talk to you on the broadcast today, those of you that are Christians have experienced this time and time again in a spiritual sense. I remember one Lord's Day afternoon not too long ago, I had the opportunity going back to a community where I hadn't preached there for 40 years. And I had an opportunity of going there and partaking of a basket dinner. Then there was an afternoon meeting, and I looked over the church building, and there was the same blackboard, probably the same pulpit stand. The pews looked the same. And I noticed how happy those people were in being there. There were people there that I knew. Some of their parents had passed on, but I knew the younger generation, and there were younger ones coming up. The wonderful period of fellowship, and this happens time and time again, not alone in that community, but it goes into our life, and to realize that whatever the circumstances in life, we can always be at home with God. So I want to impress on your mind, if you don't have this advantage of being a part of this great family, that you can be born into it. Jesus said we must be born of the water and the Spirit. We believe this to mean, as the conversions teach, that we obey the gospel of Christ. Look at those accounts of conversion in the book of Acts, and you'll find out what people did to become a part of that family circle. Paul had a wonderful respect for the Lord and the church. He said, you know, that in the 10th verse of this third chapter of Ephesians I'm looking at now, he said, actually, it made known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God. It was known by the church. And he said, this is according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus the Lord. Then he said, because of this cause, he said, I bow my knees to the wonderful family, the family of God, the whole family in heaven and earth. So he bound it upon earth, it was bound in heaven. He loosed it upon earth, it was loosed in heaven. The wonderful surroundings with God will someday become a reality. We hope you're ready for it. We don't know when Jesus is coming, but be ready for his coming. We're going to have to leave you. It's been good to spend this quarter hour with you once again. We hope you'll be in the house of the Lord. Be with us again. Tell a friend or neighbor about this broadcast. And may God bless us all as we obey his marvelous and wonderful truth.